Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I want you to stay tuned with me today. I want to talk to you about going in the wilderness. Some of you today feel like you're in a wilderness and you can't get out. I want to talk to you about how to get out of it and mostly how to avoid it. Lord, touch the hearts of your people. If there be one under the sound of my voice that is not born again, I pray that you deal with them in your tender love and mercy and let them know that they must receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the only way into you, God the Father. Touch them, I pray today. Move in the hearts of your people, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to talk to you out of 1 Kings. And I want to talk about a great revival that the prophet Elijah had. Elijah had a revival at this time in 1 Kings 18. Elijah came before the nation of Israel who were in a backslidden state. Their hearts were backslidden. And they had mixed the worship of Baal in with the worship of God, and they came up with backslidden hearts. That's the condition of most churches that we see in across the country. Not all, but you see a lot of it today. They have mixed this new world order worship in with we're going to get along with everybody, and God wants us to get along with everybody as long as it doesn't compromise his word. But we have a compromising religion coming in with the word of God, and when you get that, you get people with backslidden hearts and no power. But Elijah called for a showdown on the mountain. He said, listen, you worshipers of Baal, let's have a showdown. And the God that answers by fire, that's the God that we'll serve. We know the story. As Elijah laid down his sacrifice, Baal's prophets prayed and nothing happened. No fire came down. But when Elijah prayed, the fire of heaven came down. And when it came down, it consumed the sacrifice that Elijah had put down. And the hearts of the people were turned back to God. The Bible says in the book of James that Elijah was a man of like passion, just like you and I are. But he prayed an effectual, fervent prayer, and it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, God didn't do anything for Elijah that he won't do for you and he will not do for me. I believe that if you and I will pray that effectual, fervent prayer, that God can send revival to our land, that God can send once again revival to our hearts. Not only did revival come when they had this fire that fell from God, the hearts of the people were turned back to God. But Elijah took the prophets of Baal and he done away with them. And also the famine and the drought was ended in Israel. And also Elijah got such strength that he was ready. He could outrun the chariot of King Ahab and told him to get out off the mountain because there was a sound of an abundance of rain. Revival will cause the false prophets to be destroyed. Revival will turn the hearts of the people back to God. Revival will stop the famine and the drought in our land. It may not be a famine of food and water, but we have a famine and a drought of many things in our country that our nation is facing today. And also, a revival will cause you to have strength, just like it did Elijah. We need revival in our land. We need revival in our hearts and in our lives. The Bible says that when this happened, it was a mighty, mighty time in Israel. Now, you would think that if the hearts of the people were turned back to God, the drought had been ended, a great rain had come, it was a time of rejoicing, that everybody would have been happy. Have you ever had a dinner and you invited a whole lot of people over and everybody seemed to be getting along, but there was this one that had to cause trouble? Have you ever went to somewhere and wanted to have a good time and you had your car packed up and everybody wanted to go have a good time, but there was this one that had to show themselves? Even right now, as I'm talking to you, there's that one that's showing itself right now. But let me tell you something. It's how we react to that message or to the way they're reacting. How we react to that is going to determine where we end up. Let me say that maybe in a better way. How we react to how others are sending us messages and threatening us and trying to do us harm, how we react to them is going to determine where we end up at. You see, Elijah got a message from Jezebel because she got mad at him because he destroyed her prophets. And she said, tomorrow at this time, you're going to be dead. I'm going to kill you. Now, if I was going to kill somebody, I don't know if I'd call them up on the telephone and say, tomorrow at this time, I'm going to get you. I think I'd just leave that hanging. And, you know, Elijah believed the lie that Jezebel told him. And in this portion of scripture, in 19 verse 2, it says this, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, by this time, speaking of her prophets. She sent a messenger, and sent him a message. That reminds me of how it was when David came up, when the giant Goliath was threatening God's people. The Bible says that Goliath came out in the morning, he came out in the evenings, and he cursed the nation of Israel, the armies of Israel, and they were so afraid, they couldn't fight, they become paralyzed, they couldn't move, they were so fearful because they believed a lie that Goliath told them. It was proven Goliath was not a powerful man. He was not a powerful man at all. He was so weak that the shepherd boy took him down with one stone. You see, when you believe a lie of the enemy, you too will be afraid, and you too will end up like Elijah did right here. And in verse 4 in chapter 19, it says that he went down into a wilderness. And then it says in that fourth verse that he lay down under, he requested to die, and he lay down under a tree and told God, just let me die. Well, if he'd have wanted to die, he'd have stayed up right where Jezebel was. When you believe a lie of the devil, you're going to get in the wilderness. When you believe a lie of the devil, you're going to be laying up under a drooping tree wanting to end it all. Sometimes we just say, Lord, I can't take no more and I don't know what I'm going to do. But when you do that, you're believing a lie, because God's word says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He said that he would supply all of our needs. He said no weapon formed against us will prosper. He said, I'll bless you coming in and I'll bless you coming out. You say, well, how was this a lie? It was a lie because if you read on over in this book of 1 Kings, Jezebel didn't kill Elijah. She didn't lay one hand on him. God had something better for him. A lot of you are laying up in a wilderness. A lot of you are laying up under a Jupiter tree right now because you have believed the lie of the enemy. And Elijah said, Lord, just take away my life. I'm the only one left. But I love what God told him later on. He said, let me tell you something, Elijah. You're not the only one. There's an old saying, an old truck driving saying I love. He said, when you think that you're the only pebble on the beach, I want you to remember there's a little rock in Arkansas. Sometimes we think we're the only one left. We're the only one left doing God's will. We're the only one left going forth. But God informed Elijah that day. He said, let me tell you, I have 7,000 in this country that's never been a need of bow, never bent their knees to Baal, and never kissed him one time. In other words, Elijah, you're not the only one that's serving me. And any time you and I get to thinking we're all that and that much more, we are going to end up in a wilderness too. We're going to end up in our own little desert island all by ourselves, all pitiful and powerless, and feeling sorry for ourselves. And that's exactly what Elijah did. He was feeling sorry for himself because he got a threat from the devil. Anytime you have a revival, anytime you get a blessing, anytime God pours out, you got a pay mine, because let me tell you something, the devil is going to come back out after you. You got to stay on your alert and on your guard at all times. And you got to keep your ear tuned. And when you hear something, you got to know that when the devil is telling you something, the Bible plainly tells you that the devil is a liar. He cannot tell you the truth. So if he tells you you're never going to get out of this, if he tells you you're never going to get any better, if he tells you you're never going to be set free, if he tells you he's going to kill you, he's a liar. And you don't need to believe the lie of the devil. And he laid down and went to sleep. He just give up. He went in the wilderness, he laid down and he went to sleep. Before he went to sleep, he requested to die and he laid there and he just was going to give up. But then something shook him. He looked and there an angel was standing over top of him. And the angel had baked him a cake and had him some water. Isn't that precious? Let me tell you, people. You may be in a wilderness. You may have believed a lie. You may think this is the end of your world. You may think nothing is ever going to get any better for you. But I'm telling you right now, the Lord has made you a cake, and he's giving you living water right now. This word that you're hearing is manna come down from heaven. It's bread come down from heaven. And child, if you'll hear what God is telling you right now through his precious word, and you'll eat this word and we'll get up and walk on it. Drink that living water that comes from Jesus Christ. He will help you get out of the situation you're in. And he'll open your eyes and see that this is not it. That he has something better for you. But let me tell you what Elijah did. He did just like you and I do a lot of times. Once we receive the word, once we drink from that fountain of living water, we lay back down. And we go back to sleep. And that's what Elijah did. He had believed a lie. He ran in the wilderness. He ran away from what God had called him to do. And he just wanted to give up. God sent him a message. But then he laid back down and went back to sleep. But you know what? God did not give up on him. And God has not given up on any of us. He sent the angel the second time. And the angel touched him. I like that. The angel touched him. He touched him. God is touching you today. He made him another cake. He gave him some more water. And the angel told Elijah, he said, Elijah, this journey is too great for you. But let me tell you, people, the journey may be too great for you and it may be too great for me, but it's not too great for God. God will sustain us. You have to remember this, what God ordains, God sustains. And Elijah got up, he ate the cake, the second cake, he drank the second cup of water that the angel gave him, and he got up that time and he began to run, and the strength that God gave him that day, that God sent through that angel, the strength that came to Elijah, he went on that meal that God gave him for 40 days and 40 nights. God will give you supernatural strength to come up out of that wilderness that you're in. There's some of you precious ones right now I'm talking to. You feel like you're just in a mess. You feel like nothing is ever going to change, but I come, it's no accident that you're hearing this message today. I come to tell you, God has a meal for you. God has living water for you. God has a touch for you. God has strength for you. He will give you the strength to do what he has called you to do. God told Elijah, he said, I'm not through with you yet. I heard a preacher pray one day. She told her husband, says, I'm so tired, I just want to die, and I want to go home. And her husband told her, said, let me tell you something. Dying time is going to come soon enough. Get up, we got work to do. And I'm telling you that same thing. Don't lay down, don't give up, and don't quit. Now listen, there are times that we have to get rest. We have to lay down and get some rest. We have to eat a good meal. We have to drink good cold water, and then we have to rest ourselves. Then we get up and we go. But we have got to have the Word of God. We've got to feast on God's Word, because when we don't stay in God's Word, when we receive a lie from the enemy, we'll believe it. The only way you can get in the wilderness, the only way you can get in depression, the only way you can get in bondage is first you have to believe a lie of the devil. Until you believe that lie, you're not going to act. It's who you're called by. Let me tell you. The name that you answer to is the name that you're called, that you are. whatever name you're called by, whatever name you're answered by, all names that I'm called to, I don't answer. There's some names I'm called, I don't answer to it. And that's the way you need to be. I'm not depressed, I'm not going to answer to that name. I'm not a giver up, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to answer to that name. I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to answer to that name. I'm not a loser. My name is not loser. I'm not going to answer to that name. Why? Because God's word said that I am blessed and I'm highly favored. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. He said he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He said where he is, there's resurrection and there's life. I know that where Jesus is, there's life and there's hope. And there is no such a thing as a hopeless case when Jesus comes in on the scene. And today, you and I need to know that God is not through with us. And we don't need to get on up and get yourself up. And if you're sick today, I've been in that same situation, so sick I didn't think I'd ever make it. Some days, all I could do, the biggest thing I could do is get up and walk around the bed. But you know what? I did that. And the next day, I did it again. And today, I'm up. I'm going. Been up for years. I'm going. And we don't need to lay down. We don't need to believe a lie of the devil. We don't need to quit. We don't need to be answering to the names that the devil calls us and giving in to his lies. But we need to stay up and let God tell us what to do. Elijah, God told him. He went up in that mountain, and all of a sudden, a great wind came. And the rocks rent, and there came fire, there came wind, and there came an earthquake. And God told Elijah, said, I'm not in any of that. I'm speaking to you in that small, still voice. And a lot of times we're wanting to hear from God, but he's speaking to us in that small, still voice. He speaks to us through his word. He may speak to us from the flowers that are growing in our yard. One of the greatest ways that I just know God speaking to me when I look out and I see the little birds. And the other day I saw I love hummingbirds. I saw a little hummingbird come. And I know that if God feeds them and clothes them and the lilies of the field and takes care, how much more is he going to take care of me? And how much more is he going to take care of you? Elijah went on that strength of what God gave him and long enough to do what God had called him to do. You see, there was a man named Elisha. God told him, he said, go and brush him with a mantle. He's going to replace you when I take you home. Elijah went down. He took off his coat. He brushed Elisha with his mantle. And Elisha began to follow Elijah. And when Elisha was taken up into heaven, Elisha took over his place. A lot of times you've got to realize this. And let me tell you something about Jezebel. We have a lot of Jezebels and a lot of Goliaths in our lives that tells us what they're going to do to us. You remember what David was told by Goliath? Goliath said, I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. And I love what David said. Said, no, you're not. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. And he added something to that. He said, and then we'll take your head off. And all of it, all the earth will know that today there's a God in Israel. I love that. That's one of my most favorite scriptures. Elijah believed a lie and he ran. Elijah believed a lie and he became depressed. Elijah believed a lie and he laid down and wanted to quit. Elijah believed a lie and he went back to sleep even if he heard and was touched by God. Elijah had to have a second, as one of my friends used to say, a second dipping. He got another touch from God. And he got up that time and he ran on the strength of God. You've got to stay in the Word of God. You've got to be fed with his precious Word. Don't give up and don't quit. God is not through with us. Before all of this happened and when Elijah was praying for rain after he prayed fire down from heaven, he told his servant, he said, go look in the sky and see if it's any sign of rain. And his servant came back and said, no, there's nothing in the sky. Elijah sent him back again. He said, no. And on the seventh time when Elijah's servant came back, he said, the only thing in the sky, he said, I see a cloud in the sky, but it's only the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, well, get down off of this mountain because there's a sign of abundance of rain. You see, when you believe a lie of the devil, you cannot see the abundance of the rain coming. When you believe a lie of the devil, you won't be able to keep on keeping on. It may not be the first time, it may not be the second time you see it, or the third, or the fourth, but you won't give up. When you don't believe those lies Satan is telling you, when you believe the Word of God, you're not going to be looking for some tree to... Some of you, all people got to do is look at you cross-eyed, and you want to throw your hands up and quit. Some of you in your marriages today, every time you have an argument, you say, well, I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to quit. I'm going back home. I'm moving out. You make a way of defeat. You're believing a lie. Why don't you say, listen here. We might be having an argument today, but we're going to work this thing out. Somebody's got to give here. Somebody's got to pray. Somebody's got to have an effectual, fervent prayer. My husband and I had two dear friends, and they were married for quite a while. And every time he was a truck driver, and every time he would do something that upset her, she would look at him and say, I'm going to divorce you. And he'd do something that may not set well. She'd look and say, I'm going to divorce you. And that every time we got around her, she'd say that, I don't know, time after time, said, I'm going to divorce you. Well, guess what? He divorced her. And then she was crying the blues. You got to be careful what you're speaking. You got to be careful who you're answering to. You got to be careful what you're believing. You can't believe Jezebel's lies and Goliath's lies, and be careful that you're not laying your head down in Delilah's lap. She's not waiting to comb your hair, honey. She's waiting to cut it off, and the Philistines are outside waiting to put your eyes out. You better know what you're laying down under. Some of you got you fluffing the pillow on Delilah's bed right now, and you're getting ready to get your hair cut. You better watch out. Some of you are back in the bushes because you let some big giant come up and blow spit all up in your face and tell you what he's going to do to you when you need to get yourself out, and you need to talk to your giant about how big your God is. You need to be talking to Jezebel and not how great and what she's going to do, but how big your God is. That's what's wrong with the churches today. We've let the world come in and tell us what they're going to do when we need to be telling them how big our God is. You don't need to be talking about your situation all the time, but you need to be talking to your situation about your God. My God is a mighty God. My God is an awesome God. My God loves me. And the greatest message, let me tell you, you can sum the Bible up in four words. And if you miss that, you've missed it all. Jesus died for me. And that's the message from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. And let me explain to you right now that we don't need to be hearing what the devil says and believing his lies. And when you take in the lies of the devil, you're always going to be defeated. You're always going to be depressed. But I want you to get up and get yourself encouraged. I want you to get up, get yourself ready to go to church somewhere. Get yourself dressed up. Get all girls, put on your bling bling and go to church. Gentlemen, get up and find you a nice pair of clean pants and a shirt. If you got a suit, put that on too. You say, well, I don't have to wear a suit to go to church. No, you don't have to, but boy, you sure look good when you do put one on. It's all right. We got churches today. They preach against getting dressed up coming to church. They want you to come as you are. Well, if you have to go as you are, go on and go. But if you can get dressed up, go ahead and dress yourself up. Get all prettied up. When you go out to take your girl on a date, you don't come in with your work clothes on and take your girl on a date, do you? No, I hope you don't. I hope you go home, take your bed, put you on some clean clothes, comb your hair, and clean out your fingernails. Come on, get up, get dressed. Get in the house of God. You done laid out long enough. You done believe. Some of you believe lies of the devil. All's in church is hypocrites. No, all hypocrites are not in churches. Some of them down there where you work, but you don't quit your work job because it's hypocrites down there, do you? No. Yeah, they're hypocrites in church just like everywhere else, but I'm not going to let a hypocrite keep me out of a church somewhere. I'm going to hear the Word of God. I'm going to serve my God. I'm not going to look at hypocrites and see if that's like saying this. I'm not going to a hospital because there's sick folk there. Well, my gracious, that's what a hospital's for. And a church, that's the same thing. A church is for sick people spiritually that needs help. There's no churches here that are perfect. There's churches are filled with people that have problems just like you. And let me ask you a question. Who do you think you are? It's like a friend of mine had a sign on her refrigerator. She said, "I didn't know when I married Mr. Wright, his first name was Always." Some of you think that's who you are, Always Right. Who do you think you are, Mr. Perfect, Mrs. Perfect? You're not perfect. You don't do everything right. If people go to digging in your closet, boy, they find some stuff sure enough. And I have found this out in my 50 years of preaching, that when people start bringing up faults of others and throwing light on others, that's most of the time they just want to get the light off of themselves and people looking at somebody else other than themselves. We don't need to go down that road. You need to stay off that road. You've been on it long enough. Get yourself up. Get in the house of God. Ask God to forgive you for being so judgmental and getting out of his will. You see, Elijah went up in a whirlwind. The chariot of God came down, and he was translated. The Lord's got something good for you, but you can't get it laying down under a Jupiter tree, being depressed, wanting to give up, finding fault with people, and believing lies of the devil. Get up, brush yourself off, eat a good dinner, get you a good breakfast, believe the word of God, walk in faith, and let God bless you. And I guarantee if you go to church with the attitude that you're going to be a blessing, a lot of people always want to know what the church can do for them, but I want to ask you, what have you done for the church? Have you been a blessing to the church? Have you given anything to the church? Have you even thought about encouraging the preacher? Have you even thought about smiling at him one or two times when he's preaching? Have you even thought about going up to somebody and giving them a kind word and helping them out? It's not always what people can do for us. When we get the most out of life and blessing is when we can encourage others. And I pray today that you've been encouraged. I pray that you'll take this word and you won't be like Elijah and lay down under a Jupiter tree and want to get up, give up. Get yourself up. Go on for the glory of God. This thing ain't over yet. We got a whole lot to do for the Lord. Pray for me. And if you have a prayer request, you can write me. I'll be glad to pray for you. You can visit me on my website at truckingforjesus.org. And you can see some of my books and other things that I'm doing for the glory of God and the broadcast that I have. But pray for me as I keep on keeping on. I want to preach to the day I die. And when it comes time for me to go home, I want to have a sweet crossing. That's my prayer. Be sweet today. Be kind. And be careful who you listen to. Be careful where you go. And be careful what thoughts you entertain. Because children, you reap what you sow. Be careful of the harvest that you're putting down. God bless you today. And remember, God is faithful, and with him, all things are possible. Tune in again next week at the same time for this broadcast, and please keep me in your prayers as I keep on keeping on for Jesus. God bless you.